You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are complaining loudly about Governor Tony Evers' line item budget vetoes. Terry Bell reports.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is calling the Democratic governor a liar. He tells WISN-TV's Upfront that Evers went back on promises he made during state budget negotiations.
We did not say it was okay to have one person use a creative veto to have property tax increases guaranteed for the next 400 years. That was never part of our discussion.
Voss objects to Evers' line item veto that keeps spending increases on K-12 schools in place for 402 years. For his part, the governor says he didn't promise Republicans he wouldn't make changes to school funding. That's what he told WISC-TV's For the Record.
At the end of the day, that's the governor's prerogative, and I'm proud to be able to use that type of veto in order to help give some certainty to our schools.
Republicans may try lawsuits, legislation, or a constitutional amendment to pull the reins on Evers. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Biden administration is close to starting negotiating with drug makers for better prices. 10 drugs will be chosen for the first round of bargaining by the 1st of September. Congresswoman Gwen Moore of Milwaukee says she hopes one of those drugs will be a cancer-fighting drug called Imbruvica.
Saved my life. But it costs $197,500 a year. You do the math. That's more costly than most people can afford.
The Medicare price negotiation plan is part of the Inflation Reduction Act, which has already capped insulin prices. There are several lawsuits to try to stop the program. Wisconsin drinking water may have a higher chance of having PFAS or forever chemicals in it than previously thought. A recently conducted U.S. geological survey found nearly 45% of American homes could have the forever chemicals in their tap water. At the 8 Wisconsin sites a part of the survey, all tested above federal environmental standards for PFAS, but tested below the state standards recently set. Wisconsin health officials are turning to the public for ideas about how to use a $15 million from makers of e-cigarettes. That's Wisconsin's share of an out-of-court settlement with the vape maker Juul for marketing its products to kids. The money will be paid out over 5 to 9 years. Keep an eye out for the Northern Lights this week. The University of Alaska Fairbanks Geophysical Institute predicts high activity of the Aurora Borealis across much of the northern United States on Thursday. The best time to see them is at 10 at night to 2 in the morning. The best place to see them will be out in the country away from light pollution. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Today will be hot with temperatures in the upper 80s and lower 90s across northwestern Wisconsin, but there is a chance of severe weather. The National Weather Service says the best chance will be later this afternoon and evening, as scattered severe storms are possible across most of the state. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says drivers need to slow down. Last year, 118 people were killed in the state by reckless drivers, and the state patrol handed out over 1,100 tickets for speeders going over 100 miles per hour. A new state law passed this year increased penalties on reckless driving, including up to 6 years of prison time if a reckless driver injures someone else in a crash. And for the second time this year, the Eau Claire City Council will be considering adding a wheel tax. Earlier this year, a proposed wheel tax of $30 failed to advance. The new proposal calls for a $24 fee that would provide an estimated $1.2 million. The council is expected to take action on the measure tomorrow night. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers shut out the Reds. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens. The Brewers beat the Reds 1-0. At American Family Field, Christian Yelich hit a double in the bottom of the first. Then with two outs, Brian Anderson with the call on Bally Sports.
Brings up the former Red, Jesse Winker. Winker drives one into center field, a base hit. Here comes Yelich. He will score. And Jesse Winker with an RBI.
That would be it, 1-0, thanks to 6 shutout innings from Brewers pitcher Wade Miley, who disagreed he had good command on his pitches.
If y'all really knew where I was trying to throw it, you wouldn't say it was great command.
I was missing with it up and away, but they were swinging at it, so I was trying to go in with all those, and they just happened to swing at them.
Miley spent 2 seasons in Cincinnati. Before coming to the Brewers, Reds manager David Bell spoke to us as the team's equipment truck was being loaded up.
Did a great job for us. I don't know if I've seen him like that. That was really, really good. You know, and I know our hitters aren't thinking that way. You know, we expected to score some runs, but Wade really pitched well. He was throwing hard.
The Reds remain one game ahead of Milwaukee in the NL Central and will host the Brewers Friday night after the All-Star break. Closer Devin Williams got the save. Craig Counsell praised the bullpen.
We pitched very well, and the guys that have, you know, four guys who have had really good first halves for us and pitched really well for us in the first half, you know, kept them to zero.
Baseball's draft continues today. Last night, the Brewers selected infielder Brock Wilken, a power hitter out of Wake Forest, with the 18th overall pick. With the 33rd, they selected Josh Knoth, right-handed pitcher from Long Island, New York. NBA, the Bucks re-signed veteran forward Jay Crowder over the weekend. In summer league action, the Bucks beat the Suns 84-75. Marjon Beauchamp led Milwaukee with 20 points. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
This game is really about effort and will. I thought in the first half, Phoenix was opposing their will on us, and we were kind of giving in to it. In the second half, we played Bucks basketball.
That's the Bucks' Adrian Griffin with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Almost 7 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Monday morning. It's the 10th day of July. Yeah, good morning to you. I'm Stu Daniels. Hope you're having a good day so far. I'm here with my producer, Aaron. And we got a lot of topics we want to discuss today. Aaron, my man, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty well this morning. Had a nice weekend. It was my niece's fifth birthday.
Hey, say that again. You went to your niece's fifth birthday. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it was a good time.
All right. And did she have a good time?
Yes, definitely. And she's at the age now where she's going to start actually remembering these things.
Right.
Like, for example, one of the things that she got as a gift was a necklace that she picked out a few months ago. And when she opened it up, my mom, so her grandma, was like, "Hey, do you remember that?" And she said, "Yeah, I picked this one out." And I feel like even a year ago, she might not have remembered that so clearly.
Well, that's pretty cool, man. And that's cool that she got that necklace that she picked out a few months ago. I bet she was surprised. Well, that's good news. You had a good weekend. Hey, you know anything about mayflies? You ever heard of mayflies?
Just the bug?
Yeah, mayflies, the bug.
I've heard about it, but I don't know a ton about them.
Yeah, they come in swarms, man. Sometimes they're so thick, they cause car accidents and stuff, especially if you're close to the Mississippi River. Well, there may be some... I guess I should say there's a new study out about the mayflies and how they may be not as prevalent as they used to be. And that may cause, I should say, that may suggest that there are issues with the Mississippi River. And there are scientists who need the help of the public with that. So we'll be discussing that today. Also taking a look outside, should be another nice summer day. Depending on where you are, you might see a little rain later in the day, but it's still going to be pretty warm. La Crosse, sunshine today, highs in the low 90s. Richland Center, also sunshine with highs in the low 90s. In Eau Claire, sunny and breezy, high around 93 degrees, but a slight chance of rain after 5 p.m. Also up in Hayward, sunny and breezy, high of around 82. The slight chance of rain after about 3 p.m. is what they're saying. Hey, in sports, the Brewers held on to beat the Reds yesterday, 1-0, final game before the All-Star break. The Crew are still one game behind the Red Hot Reds in the Central Division. And the next game for the Brewers is Friday after the All-Star break. And they'll start another three-game series against the Reds, this time in Cincinnati, the Queen City, as they call it. And in the headlines today, a new study shows that forever chemicals may be in the tap water of 45% of U.S. households, and almost that percentage in Wisconsin. Another new study found that persistent bacteria problems at beaches around the Great Lakes and elsewhere around the U.S., I should say there are persistent bacteria problems at beaches around the Great Lakes and elsewhere. Also, scientists, this is what we were talking about a minute ago with the mayflies. Scientists need your help to track the population of mayflies along the Mississippi River. And Congressman Derek Van Orden has a new Democratic challenger in next year's congressional race. So we'll discuss that as well. One of the most significant stories is this information about the forever chemicals, and that could affect a lot of us. And this is something that we should all take seriously. These chemicals are becoming pervasive, and they are, in addition to being found in water, they're also found in the blood of a lot of people. So this new study suggests that these PFAS, the forever chemicals, could be in 45% of U.S. tap water. And that is a figure that tracks closely with Wisconsin findings. I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the subheadline says the findings closely track those of a Journal Sentinel investigation in Wisconsin. And this story was just posted a couple of hours ago. And it says nearly half of U.S. households could have some sort of forever chemical contaminants in their tap water. This is according to a new study from the United States Geological Survey that closely tracks the findings of a Journal Sentinel investigation here in Wisconsin. The study estimated that 45% of tap water in the country contains one or more of these PFAS or forever chemicals. It says here, last summer, the Journal Sentinel collected and analyzed tap water from 40 Wisconsin communities, and about 40% of the samples had detectable levels of at least one type of PFA. And it says 30% of the samples above the very low health action limits recommended by the Environmental Protection Agency last year. Okay. For the survey, 716 tap water samples were collected and analyzed from across the United States, representing areas with high, medium, and low-level impacts from humans, according to the study. The low category included protected lands. The medium category included residential and rural areas with no known PFA sources. And the high category included urban areas and locations with reported PFA sources, such as industry or waste sites. It says here, for the most part, the PFAs were detected in urban areas and potential PFA sources. Scientists estimate that the probability of PFAs not being found in tap water is about 75% in rural areas and around 25% in urban areas. In Wisconsin, the survey tested 8 sites, 3 private wells, and 5 public drinking water systems. All of them had detections of the forever chemicals above the federal recommendations of 4 parts per trillion, but below the state's regulation of 70 parts per trillion. Why does the state of Wisconsin have such a higher threshold? That's a question I would ask immediately. The story goes on and says the survey didn't list locations where the samples were collected because they came from individual households, but the data still helps to give an idea of how widespread the issue could be, said Kelly Smalling, a USGS research hydrogeologist and one of the authors of the study. The study also provides more insight into the impact on private wells, Smalling said, which hasn't been looked at as much as public water systems. Concentrations and compounds found in private wells were similar to what was found in the systems, she said. Quote, in areas where maybe we don't have information on private wells, people could actually look to their public supplies and see what the PFA risks of exposure in public supply is to kind of get a better understanding of what may be going on in their private wells, she said. It's definitely not going to be a one-to-one relationship, but I think it starts to give private well users a little more information than they had a couple of weeks ago, end quote. PFAs, or per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, are a family of man-made chemicals used for their water and stain-resistant qualities in products like clothing, carpet, non-stick cookware, packaging, and firefighting foam. It says here the family of chemicals includes 5,000 compounds which are persistent, remaining both in the environment and the human body over time. The chemicals have been linked to types of kidney and testicular cancers, lower birth weights, harm to immune and reproductive systems, altered hormone regulation, and altered thyroid hormones. The chemicals enter the human body largely through drinking water. These chemicals, the forever chemicals, also known as the PFAs, have been found across the state in communities like La Crosse, Marinette, Peshtigo, Milwaukee, Madison, Rib Mountain, the town of Stella, Rhinelander, and Eau Claire. As the number of contaminations grew across the state, regulators worked to create regulations which went into effect last year, setting the 70 parts per trillion standard for drinking water, the federal government's regulation of 4 parts per trillion will likely go through months, if not years, of evaluation before it's enacted into any type of law. The state doesn't have regulations for groundwater, but the Department of Natural Resources this year began the 3-year rulemaking process to establish those. In Wisconsin, about 1 million households rely on private wells, or about 30% of the state's population. In the meantime, the small data set from the USGS could help regulators make more informed decisions at the state and local level. Steve Elmore, the Drinking Water and Groundwater Program Director for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, said that having data like this is only going to help form better regulations to protect people. Quote, having more information about the distribution of PFAs in drinking water across Wisconsin and the nation, whether from a public water system or a private well, is critical for developing sound policy for protecting all Wisconsinites from PFA exposure. Without understanding where water is PFA impacted, we cannot take steps to efficiently address its contamination. Water matters. There's nothing more important than fresh, clean drinking water. Human body can't go for more than a couple of days without water. Let's take a break. Stick around. It'll be a quick one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. More clouds than sun today with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 89. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight, lows around 49. Mainly sunny tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 76. Chance for scattered storms Wednesday. Chance for scattered showers on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 69.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Some areas of our listening area may receive some rain later today. Should be sunny and breezy throughout most of the day, but Eau Claire does have a chance of rain after about 5 p.m. Up in Hayward, a chance of rain after about 3 p.m. Right now in La Crosse, it is 70 degrees. Richland Center has 71 degrees. And welcome back to the program. Stu Daniels here. Just before the break, we were discussing water, drinking water, and the fact that PFAS, those forever chemicals, now are being found in about 45% of the drinking water sources around the United States. Nothing more important than safe, clean drinking water. And speaking of water, another headline in the news today is the fact that another study has found persistent bacteria problems at beaches, and not only around the Great Lakes, but also around the entire United States. Lots of water headlines in the news today. I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just posted a couple of hours ago about this new study. It says, study finds persistent bacteria problems at U.S. Great Lakes beaches. We answer six key questions. Are the beaches safe? Can you go in the water? Is it safe to hang out at the beach? The story starts out by saying going to the beach to soak up the sun and water is a hallmark of summers in the Great Lakes region. But according to a new study, your beach time is likely getting cut short by fecal bacteria. Oh, man. A study from Environment America found persistent problems with bacteria pollution along U.S. and Great Lakes coastlines. Last year, there were more than 8,700 health warnings or closures at beaches along the nation's coastal beaches, interrupting one out of every 12 swimming days. And across the Great Lakes, 63% of beaches tested were considered unsafe to swim in for at least one day. The nationwide average was 55%. So where do these fecal bacteria come from? How does Wisconsin fare compared to the other Great Lakes states? And how many beach closures have there been in 2023 so far? Here are the answers to six questions. First of all, the first one, where does beach pollution come from? It says swimming in water contaminated with fecal bacteria is a health hazard, potentially leading to gastrointestinal illness, respiratory disease, ear infections, eye infections, and skin rash. Bacteria pollution comes from stormwater runoff, sewage overflows, and manure from industrial livestock production. In rural areas, factory farms can lead to fecal pollution from livestock production entering waterways. And I'll just interject here that that is the reason we want to limit how big a factory farm can be. You know, here in Wisconsin, we've seen in state legislation that one party wants to allow these factory farms to be huge, massive productions, while the other party wants to set some limits. Do I have to tell you which party is which? It says here that in urban areas, sprawling development is creating more impervious surfaces like parking lots and roads that increase runoff during heavy rains. Outdated and deteriorating sewage systems like combined sewers also are a problem because raw sewage can lead to more bacteria entering the water. Milwaukee has a combined sewer system that combines stormwater and sewage into a single pipe. Heavy rain events can lead to overflows where untreated sewage is discharged into nearby waterways that lead to Lake Michigan. There were two major overflows in the last year during historic rainfall events in February this year and last September. By federal law, Milwaukee's sewage district is allowed 6 overflows per year. Clean water is important. We'll get to some more of this story in just a minute. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Yeah, keep on shining your light. Gonna make everything great. Mama gonna make everything all.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Along the Hudson River north of New York City, floodwaters have turned deadly. Some parts of the state got almost 8 inches of rain, says ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z.
A state of emergency in Orange County. This family frantically trying to keep the water out of their home.
Please, God, let it stop!
Elsewhere in the same county, one woman was killed, swept away in those turbulent floodwaters. People driving on Storm King Highway in Cornwall, dodging rushing waterfalls. Dozens of roads closed.
Extreme temperatures for the Southwest again. Could be 110 degrees plus for a second straight week in some parts of Arizona. President Biden having tea with King Charles today. Earlier, the president spoke with Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Both leaders heading for the NATO summit in Lithuania. Among the topics there, Ukraine's request to join NATO and cluster bombs on their way to Ukraine. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Guska. Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says drivers need to slow down. Last year, 118 people were killed by reckless drivers, and the State Patrol handed out over 1,100 tickets for speeders going over 100 miles per hour. A new state law passed earlier this year increased penalties on reckless driving, including up to 6 years of prison time if a reckless driver injures someone else in a crash. For the second time this year, the Eau Claire City Council will be considering a wheel tax. Earlier this year, a proposed wheel tax of $30 failed to advance to the full council. The new proposal calls for a $24 fee that would provide an estimated $1.2 million, or about a quarter of the city's budget, for road repairs. The council is expected to take action on the measure at tomorrow night's meeting. And today will be hot, with temperatures in the upper 80s and lower 90s across northwestern Wisconsin. There is a chance of severe weather later this afternoon and evening across most of the state. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
In twilight glow, I see blue eyes crying in the rain. When we kissed goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like a dying ember, and only memories remain. And through the ages, I'll remember blue eyes crying in the rain.
Yes, Willie Nelson on a Monday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. If you have anything to add concerning the topics that we're discussing today, feel free to call in. We'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-715-388. 5-5. Today we are discussing, at least so far, scientific issues like water, how important water is. We were talking about drinking water earlier, the fact that forever chemicals being found now in about 45% of U.S. drinking water and about 40% of Wisconsin drinking water. And just before the break here, we were discussing the fact that bacteria is being found at the beaches, not only around the Great Lakes, but all across the United States. And this bacteria, hope you're not eating breakfast right now, but it's fecal bacteria. So it'll make you sick, and it's pretty prevalent. Just before the break, we were discussing a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that's breaking down this information found in this new study. So we're to the part here where they ask, how does Wisconsin compare to the other Great Lakes states? Across Wisconsin's Great Lakes shorelines, 67% of beaches were unsafe for at least one day last summer, according to this new study. The state fell in the middle compared to the other Great Lakes states, the other seven Great Lakes states. It says Lake Erie beaches fared the worst. All of the beaches tested in Pennsylvania and 96% of the beaches in Ohio had at least one unsafe swimming day last year. Lake Michigan shorelines in Illinois and Indiana also had high percentages with 95 and 83% respectively. Along New York's Lake Ontario shoreline, 58% of testing days had unsafe bacteria levels. Minnesota and Michigan had the lowest percentages with 34 and 43% respectively. So what beaches were the most unsafe to swim in Wisconsin? The study looked at 113 beaches in Wisconsin along the shores of Lakes Superior and Michigan. Kewaunee County had the highest percentage of days unsafe for swimming compared to any other county in the state. As for specific beaches, unsafe levels of fecal bacteria were found 27 days last summer at Milwaukee County's South Shore Beach, more than any other in the state. And other notable beaches with a high percentage of unsafe swimming days included Fisher Park in Manitowoc County with 44%, Otumba Park Beach in Door County, 46%, Crescent Beach in Kewaunee County had 40%, and Lakefront Park Beach in Manitowoc County with 39%. And so what's going on this year? Have you been to the beaches yet this year in Wisconsin? Now that we are past the 4th of July, I know a lot of family is going to be heading out to the beaches for vacation or even just a few days. The story from the Journal Sentinel says the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources monitors 108 Great Lake beaches from Memorial Day to Labor Day weekends. And since the start of the season, 15 beaches have closed at some point due to high bacteria levels as of July 6th, according to the DNR. So far, all closures have been along Lake Michigan shorelines. There have also been 36 beach advisories, meaning swim at your own risk. All but one in Bayfield County have been on Lake Michigan. So how do you prevent beach pollution? Protecting and restoring wetlands will ensure that they can continue to absorb floodwaters and filter out pollutants before they enter larger waterways like the Great Lakes. Wisconsin has already lost the vast majority of its wetlands, but has strict protections for the ones that remain. But a recent Supreme Court decision dialed back protections, so wetlands across the Great Lakes may be at risk. Building green infrastructure like rain barrels, permeable pavement, and green space in cities can help soak up rainfall during heavy rain events, leading to less runoff. Milwaukee's sewerage district is working on projects to restore habitat along waterways and create more green infrastructure that helps soak up more rainfall. Encouraging rotational grazing enacting moratoriums on industrial livestock farms, and creating policies to stop manure from flowing into waterways can help prevent beach closures in rural areas. So if you want to learn more about beach closures in Wisconsin, current beach advisories and closures are listed on the DNR website. You can get that information there. Water conditions can change quickly, so the DNR suggests paying attention to posted signs at local beaches for the most up-to-date information. More detailed information on water quality, testing, and beach closings from previous seasons can be found on the EPA's Beach Advisory website. So if you are heading out to the beach, you might want to check those websites, the EPA website, Beach Advisory website, also the DNR website. And it sounds like the best thing to do is check for signs, check for information when you get to the beach. So we've been discussing a lot of water issues today. And in addition to drinking water and the water found at the beach, another issue is this story I was seeing about the mayflies in Wisconsin, especially, of course, along Lake Michigan. Have you noticed anything about the mayflies this year? Are they worse than before? Are they any different? Well, this story here, I just saw, it looks like scientists are asking for your help tracking what's going on with the mayflies. And the reason is because it gives us some indication as to what's going on in the Mississippi River. And as we've found out so far today, the health of our water systems can really affect the health of our people. This story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a headline that says, "See mayflies on the Mississippi? This citizen science program wants your help tracking them." And this was posted just a few days ago, July 6th, and it says on July 4th of 2015, crowds gathered in downtown La Crosse to watch the fireworks, but it wasn't long before they were confronted with something else soaring through the sky that night. Thousands of mayflies that had spent the past year buried in the sand at the bottom of the Mississippi River rose en masse from the water, drifting on the southbound wind and heading toward the unsuspecting public on shore. Before long, the winged insects had coated the edge of the city, clinging to cars, street lamps, and gas pumps, an almost biblical scene. Here's a quote. It says, "The whole downtown was overcome," said Dan Baumgart, science and operations officer for the National Weather Service's office in La Crosse. Though the timing was a surprise, the phenomenon was not. Each summer along the upper Mississippi River, burrowing mayflies emerge, mate, and die within roughly 48 hours, a fleeting life cycle that somehow still leaves room for them to cause problems. Municipalities sometimes have to use snow plows to clear mayfly carcasses. In 2014, local authorities blamed a three-car crash near Red Wing, Minnesota, on a mayfly emergence that reduced visibility and made the roads slippery. And despite the consequences, their presence is actually a good thing. The insects, these mayflies, need clean water to survive. So a bumper crop means the river they came from is relatively healthy. That's why a recent study that found a significant decline in mayfly abundance over the past several years has raised concern about the river and its food chain, which mayflies, or I should say to which mayflies are essential. Because they hold such critical insights into water quality, and because their surprise emergence can be messy and unpleasant, scientists are interested in predicting the timing of the mayflies, but they need the public's help in doing so. They're hoping to beef up participation in a citizen science campaign, which a Wisconsin researcher originated to help find some answers and to encourage people to get out more and observe the natural world, which is always a good thing. So it says here, mayflies are canaries in the ecological coal mine. Prior to the passage of the Clean Water Act back in 1972, many of America's waterways were polluted, and mass mayfly emergences largely disappeared from the upper Mississippi. Agricultural and urban runoff into the river depleted oxygen that the insects needed to survive. Gradually, cleanup and conservation efforts brought burrowing mayflies back to yet again descend annually onto river towns. Now, some data shows that could be changing again. Researchers from Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Virginia Tech universities used weather radar to track the scale of mayfly emergences over the upper Mississippi River and Lake Erie over the past, or I should say over the last decade. Their results, published in a 2020 paper, showed a 52% decline in burrowing mayfly abundance on the river between 2012 and 2019. Quote, if these population trends continue, persistent environmental changes could threaten to once more extirpate burrowing mayflies from North America's largest waterways, making this ephemeral spectacle and its vital ecological functions a thing of the past, researchers wrote. Since mayflies are the food source of many fish and birds on the river, declines also could spell trouble for the river's food chain. Researchers are looking for your help in this. In a 1961 article in the Winona Daily News, Calvin Fleming, a Winona State University professor well known for his mayfly research, wrote that much was still unknown about the arrival of the cussed and disgust creatures. Quote, what force coordinates this mass activity, which encompasses 500 miles of river? Is it water temperature, river stage, or possibly phase of the moon? At the present time, we are able to predict only approximately when an emergence will occur. So if you want to help out getting information to the scientists about the mayflies, we'll give you that information right after we take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your updated forecast. More clouds than sun today, with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 89. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight, lows around 49. Mainly sunny tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 76. Chance for scattered storms Wednesday. Chance for scattered showers on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 70.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Music fans may notice mentions some of the past musical greats, Emmylou Harris and Graham Parsons, also June Carter and Johnny Cash, a couple of the big musical couples from days gone by. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. And we've been discussing scientific issues today, mainly water stuff, things found in our drinking water, and stuff found at the beaches around Wisconsin and across the country. And also the mayflies coming off the Mississippi River, and the fact that you, if you so choose, could be a citizen scientist helping out the real scientists try to figure out what's going on with the mayflies coming out of the Mississippi River. And just before the break, we were discussing this story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that tells us how we could become citizen scientists and help out the mayfly information tracking of mayfly emergences along the Mississippi River. And we got to the point here where it says the National Weather Service's La Crosse office has tracked mayfly emergences on radar since 2012, but radar alone can't prove that burrowing mayflies indeed had hatched. Only in-person observations can confirm that. So Steingraber approached Aaron Postumus, outreach coordinator for the USA National Phenology Network, which tracks the seasonal cycles of plants and animals to understand the effects of environmental changes. The network, based at the University of Arizona, uses an app called Nature's Notebook to allow volunteers from across the country to contribute data. You can do this as well. People could observe a tree in their backyard, for example, recording when it grows leaves, when those leaves change color, and when they start to fall. The data is available online for the public and for natural resource managers like the Fish and Wildlife Service. Today, Mayfly Watch is one of the network's campaigns. People can pick a location on the Mississippi River to visit regularly and document emergences, Postumus said, recording what type of mayfly they see, whether the insects are dead or alive, and how many there are. But only a few dozen people are logging burrowing mayfly emergences each year, compared to other campaigns that receive hundreds or even thousands of submissions. If they had more observations, Postumus said, they might be able to answer Steingraber's questions about the relationship between water temperature and mayfly emergences. With that information, they could give municipalities a warning about when to take practical steps ahead of a swarm, like turning off lights, or I should say, like turning lights off, and encouraging drivers to be cautious about road conditions. That could also provide on-the-ground evidence of whether the species is declining. So how do you participate in the Mayfly Watch on the Mississippi River? It says here, those interested in joining the Citizen Science Campaign should start by creating a Nature's Notebook account. Select the Mayfly campaign and choose the location where you'll be making observations. For step-by-step instructions about how to make observations and for additional information, there's a website here that you can go to. It's the Mayfly Watch website. If I were you, I would just do a search for Mayfly Watch. But I'll give you this website if you want to write it down. It's fws.usanpn.org/campaigns/Mayfly Watch. But as I said, if I were you, I would just do a search on Mayfly Watch and it'll probably pop right up. And you too can count the mayflies. Stick around. We got the top of the hour news break coming up. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Dying, but I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on. No, no, I gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings. Time raises on. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Yeah, I just keep on keeping on. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles I made in a town to be free. Be it for reason, be it for love, I won't take the easy.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.